Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Looks like we have no intro this week. That was unexpected. Thank you, Troy. I'm excited, though, nonetheless, because we got another powerful program prepared for you this week. As we're getting started, let me begin with this. Our website, www.bridemovement.com. If this is the first time you're listening to us, you haven't seen Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall before, maybe this is your first time listening to us on YouTube, or if you found us on Blog Talk for the first time. My name is Daniel Duvall. Obviously, I am the host, and our website, www.bridemovement.com. At that website, you'll find that we are a ministry. This is a ministry production. You also find the books that I've written, Noah's Ark and The End of Days, and also Wounded by Leadership, both of those books available and waiting for you to read them. Noah's Ark and The End of Days, it is a study on the last days and also the power of God, the desire of God to do something through his body that the world really has never seen before. It's a powerful study, I believe, will bless your life. Wounded by Leadership, how to overcome the wounds that we have taken from submitting to injurious spiritual leadership and other kinds of leadership that really have just not done us right. Caused us to have different kinds of wounds, caused us different problems. This book was written for you. It's my story, my testimony of what I walked through and how God showed me how it is possible to heal from these things. Also, we will soon be traveling to Kenya. Now, if you go to my website, www.bridemovement.com, and you believe in supporting overseas missions, we are now in the process of raising money for our trip to Kenya. And we want to bless what's going on over there, orphanage. We're going to be reaching out to that. We're going to be doing some different kinds of conferences, open-air preaching, reaching out to the poor, those in prison. All of these things appear to be on the agenda, as I'm told. And so we want to go there and bless. And so if you go to my website, www.bridemovement.com, under the donations link, anything given to the tab labeled Kenya Mission, Pastor John Atieno, that's the guy I'm going to be networking with, all of that will 100% actually go to Kenya. We're not even going to deduct part of that to cover our expenses in traveling there. So that is available to you. I want to promote that and make sure, you know, if you believe in this, God has put overseas missions, international missions on your heart, this is a great opportunity to get on board. We're planning our trip in February. So make sure you are aware that that is coming up. Also, our call-in number tonight, 718-766-4160, and you will want to call in tonight because tonight we are in part six. That's right, folks, part six. We have done 10 hours now, myself and our wonderful guest, Dr. Preston Bailey, 10 hours of audio on the subject of mind control, all of the different facets of it, hitting it from different angles, answering your questions about this atrocity, this crime against humanity that is taking place in this day and hour, this ministry field where people are hurting greatly and need answers, need counsel, need healing, and we are doing our best to lay this thing out, to answer questions, to provide a foundation to understand what mind control is, what it means, and also how, and that's the key word, how to find solutions for its effects. So 718-766-4160, we'll be taking live calls all night. Now, to introduce our guest before we get started, he's been with us many times, doesn't really need an introduction, but I like to introduce him anyway because he is a mighty man of God. I love him to death. His name is Dr. Preston Bailey. He has been working with the survivors of SRA for over 30 years. And SRA, that is satanic ritual abuse, for those of you that aren't familiar with the term, leading to dissociative identity disorder, which was renamed from multiple personality disorder. He has earned both his PhD and his doctorate of ministry. He is the author of the book Spiritual Warfare, and his website is www.spiritualwarfarecenter.com. He has been on numerous television shows and spoken on the occult, satanic ritual abuse, and prayer in Europe, Canada, throughout the United States. Dr. Preston Bailey is also on the board of several Christian counseling centers in North America that specialize in childhood trauma, demonization, and dissociation. Doctor, it's such a pleasure to have you on the program again.
It's a privilege to be on your show, Daniel.
Well, thank you. And again, sorry for having you on the line there, open air, this hiccup without the intro music. That was a surprise to me, too. But you know what? What we're going to talk about tonight doesn't need intro music. It's really exciting stuff. And again, folks, let me make it clear to you that if you are uncomfortable, because we do have a live chat room, and that's found at www.blogtalkradio.com under our show, Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall, and also a secondary chat room at our simulcast, www.discoveringthetruthwithdanduvall.com. You can find chat rooms in both places. Well, listen, if you are wanting to ask a question but don't want to ask it in a chat room maybe, or you don't want to call in, don't want your voice heard, my email, Bride Movement, that's our website, bridemovement@gmail.com, Bride Movement. I will be checking my email throughout the program, and if I see questions pop up in that email, I'll also be checking those out and trying to incorporate those as I can. So with that said, Doctor, there's a number of things that I want to get into with you tonight, and what I wanted to do is just start off with some of our listener questions before we get into mine, and this is because, you know, I have listener questions like literally going back now over a month at this point. People that have emailed me, asked questions, haven't gotten to them yet. I wanted to get to a few of those, and so the first question I wanted to get into was something that someone sent me that, I responded to about half of what they said. But this one I just said to say, I don't know. I'm going to have to ask this on the program. Be listening. And this one really, I think, can only be answered from experience and testimony. The question here is regarding handlers. And for those of you that are listening, in mind control, when that's implemented by different groups, oftentimes a person who is under mind control will have a handler, which is another person that is being used to control that person's movements and life. And so the question is, are those handlers also mind control slaves, or are they just perpetrators and outsiders? And if they are, won't they spill the beans at some stage? How does the whole secrecy thing work? Are they well paid or just totally sold out to this idea of a new world order or whatever?
Well, a handler, as you said, is a person who has the job of controlling an individual. There's normally three handlers. But sometimes a person is a handler without them realizing it. For example, A handler can be a husband or wife, a relative, a neighbor, a friend. For example, a person that is programmed, they often have religious programming. So let's say, for example, the pastor of a church is very religious, and he uses the Bible to manipulate the people. For example, if he wants them to give to a building program, he'll preach verses on giving and make you feel guilty if you don't give to that program. Isn't that common practice?
Sure.
So if a pastor is that way a lot, then he may be assigned as a handler by the Illuminati or any New World Order organization. And that person is assigned to go to that church to be under the supervision of that pastor, so they will continually feel guilty if they don't do whatever they're told. So the same is true if they go to church every Sunday or several times a week, and they're made to feel guilty if they don't do what they're told, then that's exactly what the cult wants the person to do. They want them to be bound by chains of guilt if they don't do what they're told. So the pastor is often not in the Illuminati, but they will assign him as a handler to that person who they want to use mind control against. You see what I'm saying?
Great. That makes a lot of sense.
And one of the handlers is often like the best friend of a person.
Wow.
If they're very religious, where if they have a certain mindset, like I can think of a number right offhand, the man or woman who I'm counseling is improving, and then they will trigger the mind of like a friend, and the friend is very controlling. And let's say the friend is very religious, and they have black-white thinking. Black-white thinking means it's either this way or the wrong way. And a lot of best friends are very quick to give advice, but oftentimes it's the wrong advice. Not every time, but they will often, without overtly told to be a handler, the advice they give to the mind control slave is the very worst advice possible, and I've seen that many times through the years.
Wow.
So they would be assigned as a handler because they make the person confused, and which is exactly what the Illuminati wants. They want the person to be confused. You see, because when a person is confused, the strongest message to get through is which is the message that is dominant.
Wow.
And then the third handler is usually one that is overtly, specifically assigned to manage that person, whether there in the Illuminati, or even it could be another occult organization that they're in. Sometimes they're paid, but they also have usually an internal programmer, which is an alter usually, and an external programmer that is often a paid position.
Oh, wow.
For them outside on a regular basis.
That is a great answer, Doctor. Now we have a caller, and I want to make sure I get them before they – I think I'm just ignoring them. So let's go ahead and take this. I have a caller. I think you may be calling in from some kind of Skype or something else. You are live on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. State your name, and let's have your question or comment.
How you doing? My name is Mike.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I have a question and I have a comment. Pretty good. This is a great topic. I've discussed this topic a lot. When you speak about mind control, I understand what he was talking about, and I want to speak about that religion aspect. But as other people talk about mind control, conspiracy theorists about what mind control, what the government does, you know, the movie Born Supremacy, the NK Ultra Mind Control, with the CIA done something like this. Brain waves. The government is secretly controlling people's minds on that type of mind control. Now, what a lot of people will say about this mind control, such as that, they don't give people all the facts. See, that's the problem. And the type of mind control you're talking about, it's been going on for thousands of years, and to me, it's the only mind control. The one you're talking about. But this electronic mind control, people trying to get electrical shock, give people drugs, test them. Factual basis. This is a fact. Even when they have the Born Supremacy movie, it was made out of a factual story of the CIA, and that, yeah, they're right. The CIA did try to make a candidate go and kill the Congo's leader in 1960.
Yes.
But when he went there, he himself decided not to do it. So factually, that shows that their mind control did not work. When they did Kathy, when they electric shocked her, factually, they did not send her on a mission they never could do. So factually, the government has never documented, and even the people they experimented have sent someone on missions where they have done something on their own. Now, what you said is the old-fashioned ancient mind control using words, control of people's minds by ideology, using words that have no meaning and words that divide us, control our minds. That is the oldest mind. This other type of mind control, they mix facts and theories. We understand that the computer can, as brain waves, and we can look it up. Dr. Stephen Hawking, how people can use their eyes to electronically and move. We understand all that. But everything that we have to do for us electronically, it has to be a willing participant in it. No one is intentionally going and controlling people's minds like it's in remote control. These are what these conspiracy theories of people were saying, like the guy did the Navy shooting. He said his mind was controlled. Well, if your mind was controlled, totally controlled, you would never go to a doctor for help telling them you think that you're hearing voices. A total mind control,
okay, so,
you don't even know it. When you hypnotize somebody, you have to have a person has to let you hypnotize them. They have to follow your instructions. So it's a willing participant. But like you said, the religions, all of those types of words, that's the number one and has been doing propaganda. Control the minds. That's how we do it with the words we use, symbolism. If you say Jesus Christ, if you say Buddha, if you say Muhammad, it causes emotions into people. Because what people
well,
put into their
mind. I appreciate your input and feedback, Mike. Now, did you have a question or did you just wanted to speak your mind for a little while?
Right. Well, my question is: can we all realize that we're all being programmed and our minds are being controlled by each other simultaneously in in some form or way? Can you say that may be a true statement?
All right. Go ahead, Dr. Bailey. Thank you for your question, Mike.
Yeah, let me answer that. Most of the people I counsel, they are not willing recipients of mind control. So this is planned overt mind control. There's numerous different types of mind control. Any candidate for any office wants to try to control the population to vote for them, whether what they say is a lie or not. That's a different type of mind control than what I'm talking about. Mm. I have talked before about what's called psychotronic weapons. A psychotronic weapon means psycho, the mind, and tronic, electronic. So a psychotronic weapon is an electronic technology that actually can control a specific person's mind or even a group of people's mind from a distance to be receptive to a certain thought. But it gets – modern technology is now so advanced, they can actually control a specific part of the brain, and there is even such advanced technology that there is what's called voice of God programming,
yep,
where electronic technology from a computer beamed down from a satellite cell phone tower, or what is called a GWEN tower, G-W-E-N, it can actually send specific messages directly into a person's brain so they think that God is speaking to them, an alien or their own thoughts. Now, I believe God can speak to us today, but that's not what I'm referring to. So it's actually called voice of God technology. But we will be discussing later in this broadcast about Delta programmed assassins, which some people call a Manchurian candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're definitely going to be getting to that. And a number of other types of programming, labeled after Greek letters. And, so this is going to be great. So, yeah, we can just pause there on that. That's a great comment, Doctor. And you know, listeners, this is true. There are different forms of mind control, different degrees of it. And, you know, we going back to our first program, we covered some of the more, or I should say, less evil forms of mind control, just like indoctrination and so forth. These are these can be a form of perpetration against another individual. But then there is, like we've been talking about, the kind that's based on satanic ritual abuse that fractures a person's core and causes splits within them and then allows for those splits to be programmed. That is the ultimate in perpetration against an individual that I think there is. And then to add to that, electronic harassment, being able to hack a person's mind with high technology. It's hardly – it can hardly be said that these people that are subjected to this are cooperating. But I do see mind control being used in a lot of cult settings and even in certain churches, unfortunately. And that's just the fact of the matter, folks. Doctor, I had a comment from the chat room, and I think this is really great. And I wanted to throw this out there before we get into these Greek letter programming. The question is, can you, as someone that has been working with victims of mind control for so many years, relay some of the symptoms that you are familiar with? In other words, when someone walks into your office and, you know, they say, hey, I have a problem. Now, you've seen so many people. What are the habits, the physical manifestations, the symptoms that are telltale signs this person is probably operating under some form of trauma-based mind control or other type of mind control?
Well, of course, there's different levels of mind control, as well as different groups who would do the controlling, such as a satanic group, a secret organization group like the Illuminati, or a military group such as the MK Ultra programming that the caller in mentioned. And there's many of the types, but if a person comes into my office, the average person with dissociative identity disorder has been misdiagnosed 5 to 7 times by other people. So I would first ask them what have they already been diagnosed by other people. Then I ask them if they hear, why do you think that you have such and such condition, and they'll tell me. And then I say, do you hear voices? If they say yes, I say, are the voices outside or on the inside? If they say they're on the outside, I just say, what do the voices say? Many times, the voices on the outside are called audio hallucinations. That could be schizophrenia. It could be bipolar personality disorder or some similar ones. Then I ask if they see anything, which would be visual hallucinations, and then what do they see? If they say they hear voices on the inside, it could be demons. So I ask them, do the voices have names? If the names are Beelzebub, a Leviathan, or Abaddon, or Apollyon, or fear, or something like that, that's a demon. If the voices are called Mary, or John, or Larry, or something like that, then chances are that is a person with dissociative identity disorder, and when they were a child, they were traumatized or abused, and the brain of a child cannot handle the trauma and abuse over and over again, or severe abuse. So the brain automatically dissociates. Dissociate means separation from the conscious mind, and that's a survival technique. They do that to survive on a regular basis, the pain. And if they do have personalities, I just talk about which ones they know. Sometimes I come across people that do have internal personalities, but they do not have names. So when I ask the altered personalities, why don't you have a name? They say, we're hiding, we're protecting ourselves, and if we had a name, we can be found out, and someone could harm us.
Wow.
So that's basically what I do. And, of course, I have a form to fill out that saves a lot of time on that.
Okay. Now, let me just ask you a couple specific questions. Eyes flipping, crackling in the ears, chest pain. Are any of these associated regularly with a person that's suffering mind control?
Chest pain is often the symptom of an anxiety or panic disorder.
Okay.
an anxiety which could people who have mind control programming often have a problem with anxiety, depression, and will panic. But an anxiety disorder means the person feels out of control and they feel nervous. A panic disorder means you think you're going to die. Many people who go to the emergency room because they have pain in their chest, they think they're going to die, when in reality it is a panic attack. Rolling back the eyes could be characteristic of a demon. A demon would do that, but it also could be characteristic of mind control. A specific altered personality that had, for example, electrodes hooked up to them may roll their eyes back in their head. But they often use electric shock. When I'm referring to electric shock, they do use ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, shocks, where they, just like any psychiatrist would do in a hospital, they have electrodes hooked up to their brain and they're given a shock. People who have dissociative identity disorder often get very depressed. And a psychiatrist who doesn't know anything about dissociative identity disorder will often try many different techniques to help them with their depression. And when nothing else works, they give them shock treatments. And, of course, the cure for dissociative identity disorder is not shock treatments. All it does is create more altered personalities through the trauma of the shock treatment. I've talked to a number of personalities in people that have received shock treatment, and they didn't understand why they were hurt worse or why they were shocked, and some of the altered personalities have a... It affected them with a dull sensation to their head. Others directly received the pain, and they became very fearful and even more anxious before. But that's not the normal treatment for a person with dissociative identity disorder.
That's great. And Doctor, can you just take a moment, and I know we've been over this in other programs, but for new listeners, the difference between a demon and an alter, because this is so important for people, especially Christians, that want to be of help to others to understand.
Yes, I've been a pastor for 41 years, and I've been a Christian clinical psychologist for a number of years, and it's very, I know Hebrew and Greek and many of the languages. I've read the original manuscripts of the Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek, but it's very frustrating that many so-called deliverance ministries, many well-meaning pastors try to cast demons out of a person that has dissociative identity disorder. An altered personality is not a demon. It's just like you wouldn't say one of your moods is a demon. If you... get in an arguing mood with your husband or your wife, you wouldn't say that you have a demon. Now, your wife may say you have a demon, but in reality, you don't have an arguing demon. It's just a different mood that you're in. If you have a down mood because you had a rough day, that doesn't mean that you have a demon. So the same is true with dissociative identity disorder. It is just a fragment of their personality was dissociated or separated from the conscious mind to handle trauma or pain, severe pain. And usually they're given a name.
Mm-hmm.
But you do not cast out an unaltered personality.
Mm.
You cast out a demon. You can say all day long to an altered personality, you can say, I bind you by the blood of Jesus Christ and command you to leave, or I command you to tell me your name, and it doesn't work.
Mm.
You command a demon. You do not command an altered personality. A personality, you have to deal with the pain and trauma that they experienced in which the altered personality was created and help them resolve it. But a demon, you don't do that. A demon, you just renounce it and cast it out. So there's a big difference between the two, and I caution any pastor before they try to cast out demons from a person, make sure that they're demons and not personalities from child abuse.
Mm. Great word, Doctor. And at this point, again, listeners, 718-766-4160. We are taking live calls, and we will take yours. But at this point, I would like to transition into some of my material, barring anyone calls in right now, because there's so much to talk about. That we haven't gotten into yet. I mean, we've been just kind of, you know, really digging out and going in different directions on this subject. But what I want to spend a little bit of time discussing now is inside of the system. So, you know, there's external elements of a person's life that is under mind control or suffering from this issue. There are handlers. There are controls put in their life. There's different things. But internally, there are a lot of elements. And we did a whole show on systems. And if, listeners, you haven't heard that yet, please go back and listen to that. That was an incredible program that we did. But even so, there's a couple more elements of the internal world of a person that has been through structuring under mind control that I would like to give you a chance to explain to those that are listening. One is the issue of mirrors. Now, when we understand a mirror, for most of us in life, a mirror is what we stand in front of in the bathroom, look at ourselves while we're brushing our teeth, combing our hair. A mirror simply is a reflection back on what's in front of it. But in internal worlds, there are also mirrors. And what I want to ask you is, what is a mirror when it is in the setting or context of an internal system or an internal world within a individual under mind control and programming? And two, is there a difference between a mirror and a mirror altar?
There are usually within mind control, there are mirrors. The purpose of mirrors is to cause confusion and deception. For example, years ago when the circus sideshow would come to town, there was often a hall of mirrors So that basically is what mirror programming is. When you go inside the Hall of Mirrors, the mirrors are placed within certain angles so that when you see your reflection or other people see your reflection, they don't know if it's really you or just a reflection. And within the Hall of Mirrors, the more you go into it, the more you can get lost. Usually, a person with DID, I ask them to close their eyes and look inside and tell me what they see. Sometimes entering a mirror can be connected to black magic. A mirror altar simply reflects what they see. Whenever one altar looks into the mirror altar, they don't see the truth. They see their own reflection. And it causes, again, great confusion. But,
wow.
Some of the older scary movies, they would walk through a mirror into another realm. Mm-hmm. Remember some of those older movies that did that? So that is the black magic element with mirrors. So it's very important, if there are mirrors, to not step into it. Children, for example, in elementary school know about the Red Lady. The Red Lady is in the mirrors in the bathroom. This is usually in elementary schools. And I think a scary movie has been made over this, called The Red Lady, or something about mirrors. And what the young children do is they go in the bathroom and they stand in front of a mirror and they say, "Red Lady, Red Lady, Red Lady," and turn around three times, and the Red Lady appears in the mirror, which is black magic. There's all different types of mirror magic. Mirror mantic is black magic with the use of mirrors. Most people are familiar with Nostradamus. Nostradamus got a series of mirrors and put them together in the form of a box. Then he would look inside the empty end of the mirrored box, and he would follow a ritual, and then the demons, the prophecy demons, the fortune-telling demons, the mirromantic demons would come, and in the mirrored box, he would see these images portrayed, whether it was battles or whatever, then he would write them down in quatrains.
Mm-hmm.
So mirrors have the purpose of deceiving the person, confusing them where they are and how to get out. So I suggest to people, if there are mirrors, you take the sword of the Spirit, which is a part of the armor of God in Ephesians 6:10-18, and break the mirror.
Wow. Wow, that's great. And I was thinking, because when you started mentioning the Red Lady thing, that sounded so familiar to me. And I remembered then that actually this was something that was taking place when I was in elementary school. I remember this. But it wasn't what it was where I was Bloody Mary.
Yeah, Bloody Mary. That's right.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. There might have been two. There might be more than one way to make I don't know. But I remember there were some kids that were trying this, and apparently a few of them got it to work, and they were very scared. It was not a good thing. And, you know, so sad. You know, you have a bunch of, like, 10-year-olds trying to do this, really getting themselves in some spiritual trouble.
Yeah, this, but, in the elementary school, they've been doing this for years, and, of course, they never tell their parents, so the parents don't have a clue.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay, well, that's a great answer. Thank you so much for explaining that for us. Now, I have another question. It's a term I've come across personally, and the term is gems. Now, these are also, I assume, an element of some internal systems, which I think are dehumanized altar fragments, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to that if you know anything about gems.
Are you talking about jewels?
Sure.
Yes. That's normally connected to Illuminati mind control programming.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually called jewels. There is family jewels of that specific bloodline. There's 13 bloodlines. So there's bloodline family jewels, J-E-W-E-L-S.
Mm.
And they relate to the jewels on the breastplate of Lucifer.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so it's called the Lucifer's Crown Jewels. In fact, recently I had a woman that had this. On the breastplate, the Bible describes Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12-15. And Ezekiel chapter 28.
And it says every precious stone was your covering.
Exactly.
Wow. Wow.
We'll call those jewels. That is Lucifer's jewels.
And so they embed these into a person's internal system or
yes,
world.
Within their structure, that is right. They are embedded within it, and they are to be kept secret. And it's not really common knowledge, but they're. It says every in Ezekiel 28. Mm-hmm. 12 through 15, every precious stone adorns you. It's his breastplate. Ruby, topaz, emerald. And emerald is very important to Satan. Each of these colors, by the way, have their own intricate programming. And each of the specific jewels and the colors, and they'll have some sub-colors that are also significant. Ruby,
wow.
Emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. And you were anointed as a guardian cherub on the Holy Mount of God. So these are called Lucifer's jewels. And they are extremely important, especially in Illuminati programming. So anybody who does mind control programming, and if it is Illuminati mind control programming, it is important that you look. Certain ones have certain characteristics in the vast majority of them. And
wow.
Lucifer's jewels is very significant.
Now, some people use jewels or precious stones as contact points for the occult spirit world. I want to ask you a question, and this is just in my mind right now. Would these jewels present within a structure substitute for literal jewels in a ritual-type setting, or would they simply enhance some kind of physical, tangible object with which they're associated? If that makes sense. I mean, that may be too far out there. I don't know.
No, I think each family has physical jewels. These physical jewels, and they have a gemstone or jewel box, jewelry box is what we call it. But there's advanced programming connected to each of these jewels from the breastplate of Lucifer. So usually inside a person that is a mind control slave, I don't like that term, but that's what they're called, there's always someone who knows the significance of each of these jewels. Like, for example, ruby, which is the first one, mm-hmm. I would say, I want you to ask someone inside who knows about the ruby.
Wow.
So then someone inside will tell you everything related to the ruby.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't volunteer, you just pray that the Holy Spirit of Truth would go inside and get the information in which somebody knows about the ruby to bring it to the surface and let us know. You have to be patient because this is the mind. It's not like a microwave oven. You can just plop it in, push 10 seconds, and out comes the meal. So you have to be patient. Sometimes if there's demons involved, have to bind the demons by the blood of the Lamb.
Right.
And pray that the Holy Spirit of Truth would show. Then you, when you find out about that one, you go to the next one, topaz, etc. But emerald, which is a type of green, is very significant. So you need to take your time in understanding these jewels. Some call it the nine faces of Lucifer, but some people call these the family jewels, which is connected to these, or Lucifer's jewels, or Lucifer's breastplate.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? So it's a very extensive program
right.
around these, and normally you're not going to see this at the first. This is hidden way deep in the back.
Mm. Mm. And I love the way you bring this. And this is just gonna we're just gonna flow right into this, Doctor, because that was an amazing answer. And for anybody that's really going to apply themselves to either getting free or helping someone else get free, I mean, this is information that is extremely helpful. The terminology, deep down and way in the back. Now. I'm just going to let you go ahead and explain that a little bit to our listeners.
There's different levels of programming.
Mm-hmm.
If a person comes in your office and they have DID, most of the programming in the front that most people would see or that the alters would volunteer to come up is what I call rabbit chasing programming. If you took all the time to chase every one of those rabbits of all of these insignificant programming in the front, you'd be there forever. The average person with DID takes 7 years, but if you just chase the rabbit programming in the front, you'll be there forever. And when Jesus returns, you know, you'll still be programming this person in heaven.
Oh, gosh.
But then all of that is designed, all of the program in the front is designed as a facade. It's real programming, but it's designed as a facade. And you look at this person as a movie set. When you go to a movie set, like a street, it's made to look like a real Western street from the late 1800s. The street itself, the buildings, everything on the street. But if you go through one of the doors of the movie set, you'll see it's a facade. It's just held up with 2x4s and braces. So it is just the front. It's nothing really behind it. So what you need to do is you need to find the real root programming that they're trying to cover up. And
wow.
So you have to ask, okay, what is this program covering up? Or what is this system covering up? So you have to go behind it, and some of Lucifer's jewels would be behind it. In important programming, there would be crystals. A crystal, remember years ago when you made your own, when the Boy Scouts made their own radios, they would use a real crystal. And when they moved the crystal down, it would change the radio station. So a crystal is a conduit in which evil would speak through. I knew one Satanist. He wore a crystal around his neck on a necklace. And he said that Satan would go through the crystal and speak to him, and he would actually hear it. The message that Satan would speak to him through that crystal. So it's very similar to programming involving crystals, which is behind a lot of this programming. So you need to, don't chase every rabbit, but like many people have Monarch and MKUltra programming with The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
And the Wizard of Oz movie goes for hours.
Yeah.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz, and many people in the Illuminati have Wizard of Oz programming. So they go, and every character in the story, the Wizard of Oz, has significance in the Illuminati. But notice, the girl made it to Oz, and the Wizard of Oz was behind the curtain, and he never did help her. He took off in the balloon. You see,
sure.
So it's never ending. There is no end, so they often use children's stories that just go on and on forever. Yes. And notice, he said to Dorothy as he was floating away in his balloon, he says, just click your ruby slippers, you see, ruby mm-hmm. slippers, and that's the first stone on the breastplate of Lucifer.
Interesting. And this is funny because in our chat room, a group of our listeners had just gotten on the subject of Wizard of Oz. You just brought it up all by yourself. But yeah, and it's just, you know, I'm aware that Oz, or The Wizard of Oz, became one of a very important programming script for at least a period of time. And the elements in there basically are perfectly catered to those that kind of agenda.
Yes, exactly.
Wonderful. Well, Doctor, I want to go ahead and transition at this point because one of the things I did want to get into in this program, specific programming dealing with the Greek alphabet. And some people may be aware of this. Most probably not. But I believe that there's enough people that have been programmed this way that warrants the discussion, and I think that you would concur. So I just want to kind of get into this. But, you know, folks, when a person is being subjected to this mind control programming, they have different ways of classifying what they're perpetrating against people and how they want them to be used. That's the kind of, I guess, the cornerstone of this whole idea. So what I want to do, Doctor, is just kind of get started off with alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, alpha programming, and let you kind of explain this concept as you have come to understand it and basically fill us in on what this means.
Okay, the reason a lot of this programming has Greek letters of the alphabet, the Greek alphabet is like alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega. That's the Greek alphabet. The reason programmers use the Greek alphabet is because the brain waves that come from the brain are called alpha, beta, delta, gamma, and theta waves. If they hook up a brainwave machine to your scalp and have all these wires connected to it, then the brainwaves are in Greek terms. So if you have trouble with sleep or other things, they can detect it with this crown on top of your head, touching your scalp with wires connecting to a machine, and it shows in a graph form. Delta waves are the slowest type of waves of the brain, but the loudest. And they're generated in the deepest sleep state. Mm-hmm. Theta waves occur most often in sleep, but it acts as a gateway to learning in our memory.
Yeah.
Alpha brain waves are present with quietly flowing thoughts, but not deep meditation. It's a calming effect. Beta brain waves dominate our normal waking state of consciousness. And then gamma waves are the fastest brain waves with high frequency. So if you want to program a person with a certain type of programming, you'll want to put them in one of those five brainwave states. Now, once you put them through hypnosis, through machines, through computers, through specific songs or whatever, then there's different names of the programming. The first main type of Greek programming is alpha. Mm-hmm. It's called it relates to the alpha waves. It is the most basic commands for most mind control slaves, it's called.
Okay.
And in alpha programming, it's just basic commands. Like, for example, there is Pinocchio programming.
Okay.
In which the puppet master controls the person and tells them to be still. So the puppet master would say, stand still, or salute. They'll often, the programmer at that point will often call himself the master or the puppet master or something like that. A part of alpha programming is some mind control slaves, when they first meet their master or programmer, they may want them to salute, or some may want them to bow. So, you know, they lean forward and bow, like we see in many foreign countries. So if they meet a certain king or prime minister or monarch or ruler, that person who has alpha programming would subconsciously bow whenever they would meet them, if you understand what I'm implying.
Yes.
So this is what's called alpha programming. It is basic commands in which they want the mind-controlled person to do. Then,
okay,
within them, they will have different colors, which is color programming,
yeah,
which is within this. So they would say code blue or code red means something specific to that person that is being programmed, or even a basic hand signal that they're even seeing from across the room will mean to start a specific program.
Wow.
And but the basic commands are auditory, which is command,
mm-hmm,
visual,
mm-hmm,
or other type of command like a hand signal or something. And that is where specific programming within, it's very specific. So there's often a specific altar connected to a command. So within the, we mentioned the Wizard of Oz, each part of that story may have a basic command with it. Like in the poppy field, they said sleep, 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 and the person would go in a trance-like state. And that person, for example, would be placed in a capsule and is placed deep, deep within the person, so it would be very hard for them to come to the surface. For example,
wow,
like times when a person gets home, let's just say for the sake of argument, they go to work, so as soon as they hit the front door in the morning, like three work altars come up, and they're told, when you touch the door handle, these three altars who do the job at work are to come out.
Wow.
Now, it could even be more specific. They could have a very specific command in which as soon as they go out the front door, the driver that only drives to work comes out. Then once the driver to work gets to the job, as soon as they park, then the three or more alters who do the job come up. As soon as they go back to their car, then another alter, that is the driver home, comes out. When they drive up into the driveway and they unlock the front door, then another alter with a specific job at home comes out. And often when it gets dark, they have what's called a day life and a night life. So the alters that come up during the day are different than alters that come out at night. And all of these would be connected to specific programs and specific commands.
And it, you know, as I'm listening to you explain this, it just to me, I think, how much energy a person must expend, not knowing they're expending it, to maintain this programming internally.
Yes, they're often very tired, because oftentimes they're not allowed to have 3 or 4 hours of sleep at night. They like to be by themselves to recuperate.
Wow. Okay.
That's just alpha programming.
Right. Yes, that's what I was going to say, because I have a whole list here of different kinds of Greek programming. So, you know, down from alpha, the next letter in the Greek alphabet is beta. And now, what I've understood in my research is that this is often tied to sexual alters when they use people for prostitution and so forth. It would be this, but I want to go ahead and let you kind of fill in on your understanding of beta programming.
Yes. Beta programming is sexual alters. There's even specific locations in the United States and other parts of the world where they go to for specific sexual programming. For example, certain people higher up in any cult group or secret organizations like the Illuminati, or even congressmen or senators, have a specific, I'm trying to be gracious, have a specific sexual fetish that they like to repeat over and over again. So these children, both male and female, are often taken to these specific centers where they have beta sexual alters that are specifically programmed to do something specific. So they have a code word that they use, and the child or even the adult, when the person who wants to use this mind control servant as a sex slave, they have a specific word that they're given, and that person will go into that mode. It is like one woman I counseled. She was programmed to be a prostitute, mm-hmm. and she had 9 specific roles she would play.
So wow.
She had 9 different set of clothes she would wear, and the customer would say which one of the 9 did they want, and then they would just say that word, and this is programming, mm-hmm. mind control sexual slave programming. And for all intents and purposes, this woman would change totally into that role with that specific thing. I mean, it is so bad. I counseled a woman in Germany, mm-hmm. Who had severe sexual programming, and in a German village, There was lower level Illuminati.
Okay.
But they actually had a theater of children.
Oh my gosh.
That would actually get on the stage and act out sexual roles on a stage as a play based on the different code words they were told, and then they would serve the nude children would serve drinks to the customers, and this specific woman was her the chief of police would come there regularly, and other key city officials. So they could, for the right price, do certain things. But
oh my gosh,
it's extremely sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then people higher up, and there's of course different levels, and then higher up sexual alters do what I call astral sex.
Oh wow.
That means they'll astral project, and they'll meet in a specific location or realm, whatever you want to call it, and they would have, and of course, I haven't seen this happen because it's spiritual, but I only have people tell me that have experienced it, and they have a type of astral sex outside of the body, and it has the same effect as if it was physical.
Wow.
So just remember, there's different levels of this, and it is, just imagine anything that, and these people are programmed with anything, S&M or whatever, and many times one specific person will be programmed to specialize in one of the numerous different types of sex roles. And so it is the most twisted, immoral thing you can imagine. And I remember one woman I counseled who had extensive programming. She used to be, you know, the beauty contest. Each state holds a beauty contest. Well, she was the state Miss State, and I saw some of the photographs when she was crowned Miss. I'm not going to say the state. And, I mean, she was gorgeous. And I'm looking at her. You know, she looked like she was 75 years old. After years of programming as a sex slave for well-known senators that were in the Illuminati, she had serious physical and psychological problems after being a sex slave for these very powerful men that people used to see every week on television. It's horrible.
Wow. Well, thank you for that very thorough assessment, Doctor. And for those of you that are listening, you know, frankly, this information is true. I know it's true. As a matter of fact, as you're talking, there's people in our chat room talking about how true some of the things you're saying are, because it's just personal experience collaborates with the report. And
yeah.
Frank,
let me add one thing. I spoke at one conference, and every spare minute I had, people were coming to me talking about the things. Three different women who didn't know each other.
Uh-huh.
They were children, 5 to 10 years old. They were programmed to have sex with a specific senator. And each
wow.
one of them gave specific characteristics that only someone that would know him would know. And each three of them gave me his home address and private phone number. You know, which is verification that most people can't get. I wouldn't know how to get a senator's phone number.
Wow, that's amazing. And actually, I have a question that came to me in my email box related to what you were talking about a little while ago. So I want to go ahead and give this a voice real quick before we move on to I think what we'll hit next probably is the Delta programming, maybe come back to Chi programming afterwards. But this question says, I've never heard of a program person recognizing their handler and saluting him or her, but I have a friend who has alters that have saluted to officers in the cosmic hierarchy. Is Dr. Bailey familiar with this level of programming, who actually programs these individuals? Would they be programmed by humans or cosmic beings or both? Which group does this? What can be done about it?
Well, now we're getting into advanced issues that probably the average Christian deity counselor is not aware of.
Right.
But I'll go ahead and answer it. And it's probably what 99% of pastors are not aware of, even though it's in the Bible about these beings, but it is true, so I'll answer that. The Bible says that there are 9 orders of heavenly beings.
Yes.
Seraphim. Cherubim guarded the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve were kicked out. Seraphim, cherubim, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, virtues or mights, they're called in Colossians, archangels, and angels. People try to put them all together as angels. That's not true. All of them together, the Bible calls the heavenly host.
Yes.
The word angel is just a generic term but it's actually a specific term. It's the ninth order, who have only two jobs: to bring answer of prayer to the Christian back from God the Father, and secondly, according to Hebrews 1:12, to minister to the saints.
Yep.
But the Bible says in Revelation, a third of the heavenly host were kicked out of heaven. So that is a third of the seraphim, cherubim, etc. Mm-hmm. So the nine fallen orders that were kicked out of heaven, some call the fallen cosmic beings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't, most of them did not come all the way to Earth, just the fallen angels, which we call demons. The fallen angels, specifically, that made an oath to come down to Mount Hermon in Genesis 6, that came down unto women and produced offspring, that's the Nephilim. They are the demigods from ancient Greek and Roman mythology, like Hercules, etc. But the higher ranking fallen orders we'll just call cosmic beings, B-E-I-N-G-S.
Okay.
Cosmic, they're in the second heaven.
Right.
And just to show their audacity and arrogance,
mm-hmm.
The higher-ranking ones camped outside of the gates of heaven to be an affront to God. And remember, in Job chapters 1 and 2, it says, there are appointed times when Satan is allowed to come before the throne of God and speak. But these fallen cosmic beings, they are all in rank. So the heavenly beings of God are all in rank. The fallen cosmic beings of Lucifer are all in rank. Now, Christians are not taught this, but you'll see it throughout the Bible. We even see Michael as a head warrior, a high rank, who resisted the prince or the principality demon of Persia in Daniel 10.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all ranked. Mm-hmm. All of these nine fallen orders are in rank. And so Lucifer himself has four generals, which he calls the four crowned princes of hell. It's like four generals. And this is the crown prince of the north, then one of the east, then one of the west, and one of the south. And that spells news. And in the book of Revelation, it tells about the angels of the four corners of the earth. In Revelation 7:1, and I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth. Now, what is that referring to? This is the four crown princes of heaven and the four crown princes of hell. The angel of the north, east, west, and south. It spells news. We watch the evening news. The news is an acrostic, which means the first letter represents a word. So the word news actually comes from the Bible in Revelation 7:1 and Revelation 28. The angels of the four corners of the earth, north, east, west, and south. So underneath, those are like the four generals of Lucifer. Then underneath each of those is a specific hierarchy of fallen cosmic beings. And they have to salute. They often stand in line at attention, and they're required to salute. And they're given orders by Lucifer every day, just like God gives orders to his the four crowned princes of heaven every day. And those orders are carried out through the ranks, each having specific functions and jobs. And so it's carried down to the bottom rung. It's just like we think of a warrior or an army of an angel. That's actually the Order of Thrones, T-H-R-O-N-E-S. The Order of Thrones is when the prophet Elisha was walking with his servant Gehazi in 1 Kings, and the Assyrian army, over 1,000 people, were following him. And Gehazi got worried. He says, "Elisha, look, we're going to get killed here. We outnumber 1,000 to 1. He said, "They're going to catch up to us any minute." And the prophet Elisha was frustrated with him because he had a lack of faith, and he prayed to God, "God, open up my servant Gehazi's eyes so he can see the protection around us." The Bible doesn't say he looked in the hills and there were angels. It doesn't say that. It says he looked in the hills and it was filled with horses and chariots. That is the Order of Thrones. And if you notice, it was the Order of Thrones that when Elisha and Elijah, they never died. They actually went up to heaven because they were humans. They went up to heaven in a horse and chariot, which is the Order of Thrones. And years ago, when a missionary's kid, who was a runner in the Olympics, he didn't believe in running on Sunday, and so the name of the movie is called Chariots of Fire, which is another name for the Order of Thrones. And so they are very specialized. So there is specific armies and ranks that do specific jobs. You would not expect the Army to do the job of the Air Force or the job of the Navy, but in Christendom, we expect that same thing by just saying angels, and that is not true. The correct term is cosmic beings or heavenly host. And one of my favorite pictures is it's called the Heavenly Host. It's over 500 years old. I don't remember who drew it, but it is concentric spirals of all of the angelic beings, and it's called the Heavenly Host.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. if there's one thing I have come to learn about the heavenly spheres, they operate based on hierarchy. Hierarchy and authority and rank is every because these are kingdoms. We're talking about kingdom, and Satan has a kingdom. And what is a kingdom? It is a system of government based on hierarchy. I have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and bring up a 514 area code. You are on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. What's your name and what is your question?
Hey there, Dan. Name's Max. Hi,
hi.
Dr. Preston. Great to be with you.
Hello.
Guys. Yeah.
Pleasure
really,
to have you.
Yeah, man. Been listening for a while. I tried to pick up the other five parts. This is some dense stuff, and I just really want to thank you first off, Dr. Preston, for making this incredible disclosure of information. It's absolutely incredible and inspiring as well. A little comment, and then I'll a question. While I was researching this initially years ago with the work of Fritz Springmeier and his first volume dealing with the undetectable Illuminati mind-controlled slaves, I started to see, as I sought God about it and fasted, which I think this kind of information kind of leads people to that direction, to seek God powerfully and seek the love of God even more powerfully than ever, that a lot of the technologies that were being misappropriated and brought into this realm of darkness could easily be used to literally strengthen and uplift the body of the Messiah, as well as, I guess, human society in general, were it not being used by the most evil, twisted minds around. And I'm just wondering, what kind of technologies, and I guess what we're really talking about is technology of the mind, the amount, the capacity, rather, the human mind really has here. So what technologies, be they of the mind or potentially, scientific technologies like, physical technologies or that kind of style of thing, do you find in your investigation of this would be properly used by believers and other people so that, to even out the playing field, I suppose. Since we're already obviously in control in the spirit realm, we have that authority. We stand, with Christ, which is awesome. So what's in the other realms have you discovered that they're misusing that we can rightly use?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and I talked to some scientists on these things, whether it's quantum physics or other things of a technological nature. But here's what I tell. Here's what my comment on that. If the Book of Revelation is literally true, like I believe it is, why aren't Christians preparing for what is in the Book of Revelation? And why aren't Christian scientists developing technology to counter this? Now, let me give you a few specifics. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that the Mark of the Beast is an RFID chip that is placed in the hand or the side of the forehead, which would be where they would be placed. And it has all of your medical information on that. And by the way, in the first Obamacare bill, there's been three revisions. In the original Obamacare bill, which I actually read the 2,714 pages, even though our glorious Congress at the time did not, when they passed it, because Nancy Pelosi said, we have to pass it to see which is in it, so we're run by idiots. But if that is true, I say, and it says you cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast, and let's assume that mark is an RFID chip. We need Christian Scientists now to develop technology that can modify that chip, or even that we don't have to have it implanted in us, that we can still do things without having the mark of the beast. You see what I'm saying? So we need.
Oh, so go ahead. Continue.
So we need Christian Scientists to develop that kind of thing. Also, and which I think is more was more upsetting to me, is the Illuminati New World Order organizations, including DARPA, have developed advanced electromagnetic weapons. They have what's called psychotronic weapons. You can read what I have said in detail about that by going to stopthecrime.net, stopthecrime.net, on the second page, and it'll say my name, warning Dr. Preston Bailey, in an article I wrote on electromagnetic weapons that can... They are so advanced that they can put on their computer screen your specific brainwave signature. That's the brainwave that your specific brain emits, and they can run one of thousands of programs, and signal goes to a satellite. And it goes down to Earth and tries to find your brainwave signature among millions of people. And then let's just say they have a program that says, cause them to have a severe headache. Then they would change the vibration frequency so that you would have a severe headache. They could even cause you, they can have a program that would says, cause them to have a heart attack. So it would send a signal to actually cause that person to have a heart attack. Now, that is what's called a targeted individual. So there's over a million people in the United States who themselves, and there's probably more, say they're a targeted individual, and they have many of the characteristics. Now, what I say is Christian Scientists need to develop a technology that they can put in their home, in the room that they stay in most of the time, to either neutralize these electromagnetic signals or at least to resist them so that it does not affect their brain, so that these electromagnetic signals that are sent from satellites, cell phone towers, or government towers called wind towers, that this electronic device would send off signals that would not harm us, but would neutralize those negative mind control signals. You see what I'm saying? So that is what Christian Scientists need to be working on if they want to advance the kingdom of God and help these people that are mind control slaves, that are controlled from a distance by electromagnetic technology.
And for those of you that have been listening to my program for some time, most of you are aware that, you know, I, as a student of the Word of God, absolutely dismiss the idea of a pre-trib rapture. And not that I'm going to get into that on this program, because I'm not. But frankly, I am 100% in agreement that, you know what, instead of putting our heads in the sand, people do need to be thinking along the lines of a long term. Well, what are we going to do about this, as opposed to trying to avoid it and pretend like it's not there, especially when it comes to technological harassment? You know, it's one thing to pray against a demon. It's another thing to pray against a microwave floating through the air. I mean, frankly, you know, if somebody can sit down and figure out some technology. I completely agree with that, and I think that this is important, you know, because the frankly, there's enough published, I think, that somebody can figure this out and help millions of people in the process, possibly make a little bit of money at the same time. I know if I was equipped to develop this kind of technology, I mean, I might even start my own business on this one. But that's one. Here's another thing, too, that I was thinking, because, you know, I've been studying this quantum physics thing for a while. One of the interesting things that people, just in a person's approach to spirituality, you know, the Bible says that God is light. It says that God is light. Well, if you study quantum physics and what they've discovered, one of the things you find is that when you reach the speed of light, time and space actually cease to exist. In other words, we serve a God that is not bound by time or space, at least around him in his perfection. Time and space becomes completely irrelevant. Therefore, to your situation, circumstance, and need, he is there ever-present. It's called omnipresent all the time and all-powerful, because no time nor space can hold back the hand of his power. It's just impossible. He is the great I Am, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is the ultimate power, and people need to get this in their mind and in their thinker that, you know what, everything that we're talking about really in the wisdom and provision of God has a solution. And so people need to, you know, kind of get ramped up on the idea that we need to seek God in a new and renewed approach, because there are things coming on this earth that, frankly, he has answers for. He's waiting to tell somebody about. Somebody needs to open up their ears and hear him. It's something else that's really interesting, too, just coming off of these technologies, relates to ways to apply your faith. You know, at our speed of movement, which is slow compared to light speed, and by the way, if you've studied quantum physics, folks, everything is measured against what's called light speed. It's kind of like the big standard there. And if you're where we are, basically what you have is cause-effect. You have cause, and then you have the effect. If someone shoots a gun at a target, they shoot the gun, bam, then the target gets hit by that bullet or whatever, and it explodes. Well, as you approach the speed of light, or I'd say half the speed of light, things change. In other words, when you shoot that gun at that target around half the speed of light, what happens is that the target actually explodes the same moment the gun is shot. There's no time in between the two events. That's just the science. I'm reading a book about it right now. That's why I know this. Well, frankly, when you get beyond half the speed of light and happen to move into closer to the actual speed of light, what you have is effect and then cause. In other words, you have, if you were to shoot a gun hypothetically, the target would explode first, and then the bullet would travel back into the gun and reload itself. Now, when you read the Bible, and we brought this up on another program, thank you, Dr. Bailey, the Bible says, whatever you bind on earth is that which has already been bound in heaven. In other words, we have an integration between this side of eternity and that side of eternity, that there is not in the kingdom of God cause then effect, but first effect and then cause. In other words, the finished work of Jesus Christ has already provided the need that you have. In other words, you need healing, God already has it. You need financial freedom, God already has it. You need 50,000 altars to be reintegrated. God has the solution for that problem, and it's called effect and then cause. In other words, Jesus already did it. Now we extract it on this side. The bullet is actually traveling back into the gun. God blew up the target. Now we're taking that bullet and putting it back. Whatever is bound on earth is that which is already bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is that which is already loosed in heaven. Folks, these are some of the concepts that you can get as you move deeper into some of these sciences and things that will and do absolutely increase your faith and ability to believe God for things you didn't know you could believe him for.
Yes. So I say that we need to have scientific prayers to pray to God in a scientific manner to deal with this advanced technology that is attacking individuals. For example, if you wanted to cook a meal in a microwave oven, you wouldn't pray to God and say, God, I pray that you would cook this meal. You would say, Lord, I pray that you would help me to discover what buttons to push on this microwave and how to work them.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly what we're saying here. It's just amazing. But, Doctor, there's one more thing I want to get to because we are running out of time. And thank you. Great question, by the way. That we had mentioned and brought up Delta programming in the beginning, and now I want to make sure that we hit that point before we close this one out. Of course, folks, we'll be having Dr. Preston Bailey back. We are not done interviewing him. But I wanted to give you a chance to talk about Delta programming before we close out the show tonight.
Yeah, Dan, Delta programming is very simple, assassination programming. I've met people through the years that have assassination programming. They're also programmed to break into a store, a house, and do specific things to intimidate someone. One woman that was a Delta assassin said she would get information on government officials to blackmail them to make specific legislation that the Illuminati wanted passed. So this is Delta programming. That is a military assassin type of a program. And these people can actually be very deadly, whether male or female. They are very highly programmed to carry out military precise operations.
So let me ask you this. In the U.S., we have something called Delta Forces. Any cohesion between the two, Delta Forces, Delta Programming, or two different things?
The word, they're called Delta Forces for the same reason that a mind-controlled slave is called a Delta Program. They're trained to kill. They're trained, if you want to assassinate key government officials in another country, you send in a Delta Force. If you want to kidnap an important person that's held in a foreign country, you send in the Delta Force. They are the very best, and it would be very hard to detect. So to carry out a military precise operation that involves anything like that, you send in a Delta Force. One time, a Delta-programmed woman was sent to my office to actually assassinate me, and God intervened, and she, so I, through a miracle of God, I was able to talk to her, and I gave her the share of the gospel of Christ with her, and she admitted that she was a Delta-programmed assassin for the Illuminati, and she told me that, she told me exactly how she kills people, which I would not know. And the average person would not know. And she said she was so good at it that if the mafia failed in a hit, that she would be hired to carry out that hit. So that's how well a Delta-programmed assassin is.
Wow. Now, Doctor, as we're getting ready to close out this program, I have a few people in the chat room that are really kind of asking about these scientific prayers you keep mentioning. And,
okay.
I'm just going to let you talk. I was going to say something, but go ahead.
Okay.
Tell us more.
Let me say real quick. A scientific prayer is a prayer you pray to God within the scientific natural process of that technology,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let's say, for example, let's say they're trying to control you by they're trying to send electromagnetic technology to cause you pain. You would pray something like this: Heavenly Father, I pray that you've said that you will be a wall of fire around us in the book of Zechariah. I pray that you would be a wall of electromagnetic energy around us, so this electromagnetic ray that hits me, that your electromagnetic shield that you surround me with would neutralize or repel that electromagnetic technology that is sent to cause me harm. And we ask this in the name of the true Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the technology is, you pray within the nature of that. So in this case, you want to neutralize it or repel it. For example, if a tornado was coming at you, then a tornado turns one direction. So you could pray, Lord, I pray that you would send, that you would create a force that is equal to or greater than this tornado coming at me, so that it would, when it hits this other tornado, it will neutralize it and cause it to dissipate. That's just an example of the way that you would pray. So God designed everything according to a certain way, so we need to pray within the nature and character of what that is in a natural process.
And, you know, listeners, I just think about the other day. Here I was sitting in my car looking up at my moonroof, which would not close all the way. And I push the button, you know, push the button, and there's nothing in the way. There's no reason why it shouldn't be working. And I'm saying, what's going on? So I pray over my car. I don't be like, oh, damn, man, this guy's crazy. Not crazy. I just know my Father. And I pray over my stuff. And I prayed over that car, and I said, Lord, whatever is causing these gears to not work right, I pray divine correction be brought to them in Jesus' name. Guess what? And I pushed the button, and it closed, okay? How did I pray for my car? Well, frankly, I prayed for what it needed. In other words, there was some kind of jam in those gears. I don't know what it was. But when I prayed about that, God's infinite mercy was loosed on my car, and then it started to work. This is a scientific prayer, as Dr. Bailey is explaining it, really, in my mind, falls back on this principle. Whatever you ask, believing that you receive it, you will have it. That's in Book of Mark, chapter 11. It's pretty clear that we can ask God for just about anything, pray for him to do things. So if we're going to be praying against high technology, different things, we just name what we are asking his provision for. The Bible says, ask and it will be answered. Seek and you will find. Knock, it will be opened unto you. It doesn't say unless it has to do with high technology or electromagnetic fields. It doesn't say that at all. As a matter of fact, after some information you gave me, Doctor, I began to pray about his electromagnetic fields. And frankly, you know, God is good. So, yeah, you can absolutely – I just pray it as part of my regular defense. I say, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over my house and – I ask that your angels, and I just pray for angels with authority over the electromagnetic spectrum to surround my house round about and literally sabotage, overthrow, and overturn all forms of electromagnetic waves being sent against me in Jesus' name. I actually pray this every night before I go to bed, in addition to my regular prayers, praying for people, asking for God to bless me and ministry and others and so forth. I mean, it's just part of my regimen.
Yes, and it's like this. I don't know how this is possible, but demons can come into your house through any electrical wiring or even plumbing, just like a lightning. So I pray that any wires coming into my house would be covered by a shield of faith and covered by the blood of the Lamb, so no demons can affect any electronic equipment in my house. That's another example.
Wow. Well, Doctor, we are out of time. It is now the close of the program. Folks, his website, www.spiritualwarfarecenter.com. Our guest, Dr. Preston Bailey, minister, counselor, has worked with victims of this perpetration against humanity for over 30 years. Doctor, I just want to thank you so much again for joining us this week. Folks, our website, www.bridemovement.com. That's where you can find us. Thank you for joining us this week on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. We'll see you next time, next Monday, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Everybody, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful night. God bless you, and bye-bye.